Woman.
You're right, said Artemis, the crow's feet deepening around his eyes. Never again. We shall restrict ourselves to more tasteful ventures in the future. Legal, I can't promise.
Butler nodded.
It was close enough. Now, young master, shouldn't we check on your mother?
Artemis grew paler, if that were possible. Could the captain have reneged on her promise? She would certainly be entitled to.
Yes, I suppose we should. Let Juliet rest. She's earned it.
He cast his eyes upwards along the stairs. It had been too much to hope for that he could trust the fairy. After all, he had held her captive against her will. He berated himself silently. Imagine parting with all those millions for the promise of a wish. Oh, the gullibility. Then the loft door opened. Butler drew his weapon instantly.
Artemis, behind me, and Trudis.
The boy waved him away.
No, Butler, I don't think so.
His heart pounded in his ears. Blood pulsed in his fingertips.
Could it be? Could it possibly be?
A figure appeared on the stairs, wraith-like in a toweled robe, her hair wet from the shower.
Artie!
She called.
Artie, are you there?
Artemis wanted to answer. He wanted to race up the grand stairway, arms outstretched. But he couldn't. His cerebral functions had deserted him. Angeline Fowle descended, one hand resting lightly on the banister. Artemis had forgotten how graceful his mother was. Her bare feet skipped over the carpeted steps, and soon she was standing before him.
"Morning, darling,"
she said brightly, as though it were just another day.
"Mother,"
stammered Artemis.
"Well, give me a hug."
Artemis stepped into his mother's embrace. It was warm and strong. She was wearing perfume. He felt like the boy he was.
"I'm sorry, Artie,"
she whispered into his ear.
"Sorry for what?"
"For everything. The last few months. I haven't been myself.
But things are going to change.
Time to stop living in the past." Artemis felt a tear on his cheek. He wasn't sure whose tear it was.
"And I don't have a present for you." "A present?" said Artemis.
"Of course," sang his mother, spinning him around.
"Don't you know what day it is?"
"Day?
It's Christmas Day, you silly boy. Christmas Day. Presents are traditional, are they not?"
"Yes," thought Artemis. "Traditional. San Ditlas."
"And look at this place. Drab as a mausoleum. Butler!"
The manservant hurriedly pocketed his Sig Sauer.
"Yes, ma'am."
"Get on the phone to Brown Thomas. The platinum set number. Reopen my account. Tell Elaine I want a Yuletide makeover. The works!"
"Yes, ma'am. The works."
"Oh, and wake up Juliet. I want my things moved into the main bedroom. The attic's far too dusty."
"Yes, ma'am. Right away, ma'am."
Angeline Fowle linked her son's arm.
"Now, Artie, I want to know everything. First of all, what happened here?"
Remodeling, said Artemis. "The old doorway was riddled with damp." Angeline frowned, completely unconvinced.
"I see. And how about school? Have you decided on a career?"
While his mouth answered these everyday questions, Artemis's mind was in turmoil. He was a boy again. His life was going to change utterly. His plans would have to be much more devious than usual if they were to escape his mother's attention. But it would be worth it. Angeline Fowle was wrong. She had brought him a Christmas present. Epilogue. Now that you have reviewed the case file, you must realize what a dangerous creature this Fowle is. There is a tendency to romanticize Artemis, to attribute to him qualities that he does not possess. The fact that he used his wish to heal his mother is not a sign of affection. He did it simply because the social services were already investigating his case, and it was only a matter of time before he was put into care. He kept the existence of the people quiet, only so that he could continue to exploit them over the years, which he did on several occasions. His one mistake was leaving Captain Short alive. Holly became the LEP's foremost expert in the Artemis Fowl cases, and was invaluable in the fight against the people's most feared enemy. This fight was to continue across several decades. Ironically, the greatest triumph for both protagonists was the time they were forced to cooperate during the Goblin insurgents. But that's another story. Report compiled by Dr. J. Argon, B. Psych, for the LEP Academy files. Details are 94% accurate, 6% unavoidable extrapolation. The end.
We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Artemis Fowl by Owen Colfer. This program was produced by Kate Thomas. Executive producer, Orly Moskowitz. Text copyright 2001 by Owen Colfer. Production copyright 2004, Random House Inc. All rights reserved.
Hello, this is Jim Dale, narrator of the Harry Potter audiobook series. Listening to audiobooks isn't just great entertainment. It's also a great way for your family to experience and enjoy books together. Studies have shown that listening to stories read aloud helps children build vocabulary, improve their reading skills, and succeed more readily in school. It's an important step on the road to becoming a good reader, and one of the best ways to help ensure a lifelong love of literature for the children you care about. Check your local retailer for the wide selection of audiobooks available from Listening Library. Or if you would like to visit us online for more information, check our website at www.listeninglibrary.com. Thank you, and happy listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.